This episode is brought to you by USAA Auto Insurance. When it comes to auto insurance, USAA is the perfect first-round pick. With USAA, you get award-winning service that's easy and reliable with 24/7 online claims. For our military community, it's the service that goes above and beyond at a great value. Get a quote at usaa.com/auto. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. When draft time rolls around, you have to be strategic and you have to be quick to put together the best possible team. Like with football players, when you're drafting a quarterback, there are so many things that you need. You need an athletic guy. You need a guy who can process information. He's got a strong arm. Maybe he can run around a little bit. There's so many things, and finding the exact right one, very difficult. But if you're hiring, the best strategy is to use Indeed. Their sponsored jobs will help you stand out. It literally puts your job post at the top of the page so you can reach the people you want faster. And even better, you're only paying for results. There's no monthly subscriptions or long-term contracts. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/footballers. That's Indeed.com/footballers right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/footballers. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers back with you Thursday, January 23rd. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway. Welcome in, one and all. Another fine episode for you on this Thursday.
It's like we just recorded yesterday.
Feels that way. happy to have you with us. We got news to talk about. Mostly coaching staff related.
Mostly. Let me look.
All?
It is currently
exclusively.
It is 100% of the news content.
We're not there yet though. So there's still time
for
a player breaking news to find its way in.
And we have the truth of the running back position starting today, the top 10 running backs. So that'll be fun. Jason is always, he can always play spoiler if he wants.
He did say...
Running backs were awesome. They crushed. Spoiler.
You had alluded to something special for Saquon, like you were going to make a whole new...
Staff yep. or something?
Did, yep. you, did that happen?
That did happen. Okay. That did happen. I'll get there when we get there, but...
You don't want to tease it out.
This is the tease, is that Saquon has something new for him that we have never done before, to ensure that he is in the truthful spot, because this episode's about the truth. And if an algorithm is not reflecting the truth, then that's not the algorithm we're going to use.
You made a new one. You added an asterisk.
I just took him out of it. So I'm going to be honest with you. I played around with it for a long time to try to get it to work.
We stopped using the algorithm.
No, we used the algorithm for everyone except Saquon. I took him out because it couldn't place him at one because it can't give enough bonus points for what he did for 30-plus point games. I guess we're not just teasing it out, but we'll talk about him. I'm guessing somewhere around first when we get into the truth of running backs.
That sounds fair. You can go to jointhefoot.com if you want to become a supporter of the show. Get the bonus weekly episode called The Footcast, where we answer your questions each and every week. During the off season, it's nice to get an extra episode, so you can do that over there. Access to all the premium tools and resources as well. That's jointhefoot.com. And it's a good time to remind you, if you are, the off season's percolating, and if you're looking for a new league, if you're looking for more like-minded people, Papa Josh would love it if I told you to head to ballersdiscord.com, join our free Discord channel. I don't know if, Papa Josh, you know the number of active members off the top of your head. I'm really putting you on the spot.
We're at 59,200.
Okay. So that's a lot. That's quite a few.
I thought you were going to...
You can find some leagues over there.
Thought you were going to tease out that we are mere days away from a really big Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday?
Some call it that.
When you said days away, I was like, what is in a couple days? Because that's we're still weeks away.
Oh, I forgot there's the week off.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So
I'm bringing it up.
That would be a weeks away type
it's
of thing.
Mere weeks away.
Mere weeks and days away.
That's great news for me because we are building out this year's Dynasty Pass, which will be live on a really big Sunday where there's another big game.
Months away.
when you're in the weeds, man, you're like, uh-oh.
Oh, so you're feeling good right now because you just realized you got another week.
You just got more time.
You got more time to get it done.
Yeah, I'm putting everything on pause.
Oh, you're just going to keep that.
I get to take a week off now.
The hare takes a nap, and he ends up winning, right?
Is that what happened?
That's the one I've seen.
I thought it was okay. We'll see. So it should be ready. It should be ready by Super Bowl Sunday. The ultimate draft kit always begins.
We'll talk about it more, I guess, in the next few weeks.
In the next few years. Let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
The Jets are hiring former Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn as their next head coach. He was a first-round pick the Jets.
When you got a type, you got a type. You know? The unproven, up-and-coming, first-time defensive head coach.
How sad are Rex Ryan's teeth right now?
Oh, man. They're...
His teeth?
Oh, well, because that's all you can think of when you think of Rex Ryan. If you look at Rex Ryan...
So you got a big old smile?
Mike.
Is this a joke? Is Mike playing us right now?
No, I don't know.
I don't know if you guys know this. There's a big Rex Ryan factoid out there.
Oh, I know about the feet.
Not related to his teeth.
Oh, I know about the feet.
But everyone
listening.
You can't see that on glance.
Here's the thing.
That's all I know about.
Anyone listening right now who has seen Rex Ryan.
That's just a good big smile. Let me find. I'm going to dive deeper.
I don't understand.
I'm going to dive deeper.
I feel like we're being gaslit right now because.
So, if you search for Rex Ryan teeth, Mike, the first thing you will see
are the illuminated teeth. He's got LEDs inside them.
The very first thing on Reddit, why are Rex Ryan's teeth so white? That's it. He's also comes up on the what's the worst celebrity veneers we've ever seen thread very recently.
You pretty much need sunglasses if you're face to face with Rex Ryan.
Or only one on our side is Rex Ryan and his weirdly white teeth.
I think I maybe found an old photo.
Oh, like, you found a photo
so
of just normal teeth.
So now I have a new one. These are laser beams.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, so the picture I put in there, that's not the same teeth.
No, he did. That's what the veneers are. They're a new set of teeth. He's got the Ross from Friends teeth.
Those are some white
yes.
teeth.
Yes. Okay, Mike.
Thank
I'm seeing
you
the,
for joining.
I'm seeing I'm the in. Picture. I just can't believe you haven't seen Rex Ryan in the last few years.
I don't tune into Rex Ryan anything.
He's always on ESPN.
It's like how
I don't tune into anything Rex Ryan.
Yes, Mr. Ryan. What shade would you like to go on these teeth? Get those out of here. Bring me a sheet of paper. I'll show you how white I want it.
Is translucent an option? No.
I think the point was those teeth don't have a head coaching job.
Right. Oh,
it's
that's
Aaron
where this
Glenn's.
Came from. Yeah. Congrats, Aaron Glenn.
So
fantasy football wise, this is as of right now a total.
Yeah. I mean, defensive head coaches.
These guys, they gotta find the OC. Some of them can, and
he has done a great job with Detroit.
Sure. Yeah.
He has
done. I think the hire is fine.
Even with injuries, they've played very hard for him.
Like I think that the hire is, I mean, so, coordinators for this type of rise of a team, those guys deserve a chance.
Yeah.
Like you're a part of it. But being the fantasy show is like, okay, that's great. Who's your OC?
Even taking fantasy out of it, I can't imagine I would. If I was a general manager, I would be very hesitant. I mean, I don't know Aaron Glenn. I haven't interviewed him and been blown away and been won over. I think he did an amazing job, but I do think building a franchise, it puts you at a disadvantage if you have if you have a defensive head coach, because if your offense clicks and does well for a defensive-minded head coach, you're going to lose your OC. He's going to become a head coach, and then you got to keep recycling.
Well, yeah. And this is, you know, Dan Campbell and his, you know, Ben Johnson leaving, and then you have this news, which is very good for a player we were worried about. Baker Mayfield is not losing his offensive coordinator. They decided, the Buccaneers did, to offer Liam Cohen a bag of money to turn down the potential Jacksonville job.
I think Liam Cohen went to Jacksonville and was like, nah.
They fired their GM today.
Jacksonville.
Yes. Trent Baalke is fired. But Liam Cohen is staying, so Baker Mayfield will not have a new OC again.
Great news.
And that's exciting. And the Patriots are expected to hire, once again, for the third time, at least the third time, Josh McDaniels as their offensive coordinator to join Mike Vrabel.
What are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, you said for fantasy football purposes, you know, with the Jets, we're not sure. We're not sure until Aaron Glenn finds his offensive guy. Well, Vrabel has found his offensive guy. We have plenty of data here. How do you feel about the third try here?
I feel like they are assembling the hits, the greatest hits of Patriots.
Romeo Crennel on the way back soon?
Just wait.
Who was their other the former Notre Dame coach?
O'Brien?
No.
Oh, that was not.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, he's got a SiriusXM show now.
Charlie
White. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, there's Kyle.
Thank you. All right, Kevin O'Connell.
Did you want to talk about Rex Ryan's teeth, Kyle?
Yeah, were you aware of his teeth, Kyle?
I don't care about his teeth.
But were you aware? I'm proud of you for not caring. You're a better man than us. Were you aware?
Not really.
Oh, yeah. See,
that's another man who has not watched Rex Ryan. I don't know how you can ever watch it not be aware. They're like flashlights in his mouth.
Yeah. I mean, thank you, Jason.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The Vikings have agreed to a
Guys, I'm just learning about this, I'm trying to get all this information in real time. Sign me up. How do I get teeth?
You want those teeth?
Yeah, you can read menus at dark restaurants now. It's amazing. I mean, you don't even need to do the old person thing with your phone at all. You just hold it closer to your face.
Hey, Rex, can you smile for me? Having trouble reading.
Rex, read for the table.
I can't get these desserts. I can't make it out.
The power's out. Let's go to Rex's room.
I have to imagine in the dark he glows. Like, legit.
They're pretty white.
That's wild.
Didn't know this was going to be the podcast today. Kevin O'Connell, multi-year extension with the Vikings.
The best part here is...
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, my God.
The best part is how completely outdated this is. Like, this is not a relevant personnel. This has nothing to do with anything going on.
This is an old
thing that happened.
This is everything.
And that's what today's episode is about.
Do you think the newfound confidence, though, with these chompers was that he could go he could go back in there and get the job?
Man, he thought he could shine bright in that room, you know?
Yeah, he did. Okay.
So Kevin O'Connell.
Third try here. Kevin O'Connell, multi-year deal.
Of course.
With Minnesota.
The whole teams want to trade for Kevin O'Connell thing that just, like, I don't doubt it was true. Like, yeah. If I would have loved for my franchise, if we don't have a good coaching solution, to be like, oh, that guy, he's turned around the Minnesota Vikings program with Sam Darnold.
He didn't have a contract though, right?
He was about to be up. Yeah.
Okay. So that maybe that was what kind of spurred those rumors.
But yeah, so he's back. That's great news.
All right. We will have a full coaching changes episode in late February.
Oh, so much Rex Ryan in that
episode. I wish. Now, Mike, that you're aware.
Yeah.
How disappointed are you he didn't get the job?
Oh, man. So disappointed.
2025 would have been lit. You know?
The content that we could have come out with.
That's all that matters.
We're pulling all these things off. This is off the top of the head. If you gave me some time in the lab.
Oh, man.
To think about good teeth jokes.
You didn't know about it in 5 minutes ago. So just imagine what you could do.
This is great. Congrats, everybody.
I'm not even here.
It was rumored they called him in for a second interview, but he was getting his teeth whitened and could not he could not make it, and that's why he didn't get the job.
Sorry, is it a Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday? Because that's my teeth whitened.
Does he not drink coffee or anything?
It's that, you know what it is it's been more amplified. Oh, I can't believe we're still talking about this. It's been more amplified because he's on ESPN and he gets the orange put on.
Yes, I can see that.
So they put the orange on.
He's got the skin tanner on.
And when you've got that combined with the teeth level.
Like, everyone's, your teeth, they stain. Is there like a stain repellent you could put on your teeth?
I think veneers don't stain.
That's not possible.
This is accurate. But also, good night, man.
Yeah.
Good night. I am just looking picture.
This is great stuff.
After picture.
ladies and gentlemen out there who were not aware of this, go search. And if you find a picture of Rex Ryan in...
All these pictures in Slack are killing me.
Here's what I want you to do right now, because we're recording this the day before. The Falcon, I want the picture you just shared in Slack, I want you to, no context, tweet it right now.
Yes.
Tweet that picture. Do not say a thing. People will find it tomorrow.
That guy is going to a rave.
It's impressive. All right.
He's ready.
Guys, he's got his glow teeth on.
Yeah.
This is the truth about Rex Ryan episode.
We're going to get to running backs, I promise. It's the offseason.
Yeah, that was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Here we go.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Did you make that graphic, Falcon? Or was that something
he wishes
found?
Grok.
Oh, Grok made that for you? Okay. Moving on to a rather important position in fantasy football this year. The running backs, the top 10 running backs, what is the truth? We look at consistency. We look at performances relative to their fantasy finish and tell you the impact that these guys really made on your team, so you have a proper evaluation of the season and an outlook for next season that is right and fair. And we often bring up, like, you can go back and listen to these again in about 6 months, because when you're getting ready to draft, there are players who have – there are distortions to how consistent and helpful they were for your team.
For sure. We'll talk about a couple of them today that, you know, we got to figure out what the truth is. I think there's one player on today's show that I'm not sure what the truth is. So hopefully you two can illuminate that for everyone and myself included. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, you just say illuminate. You think about them teeth, man. Yeah. 2024 crushed for running backs. Most total
in the rushing department. Yeah, we're on the ground. Yeah. Cause it,
I guess I assumed. Yeah, I got what you're saying.
Receiving production for running backs was down overall.
The most total rushing fantasy points for running backs since 2011. The second most rushing touchdowns since 2011. And the receiving production did take a step back. It's the fewest receiving yards at the position since 2011. You know, I'm not surprised in some regard that number has, you know, some of the more prolific running backs in the receiving game aren't there anymore.
They're getting older.
Austin Eckler for a long stretch was 100 receptions a year.
And McCaffrey missed
and Christian
McCaffrey.
So it does make
and
sense.
And Kamara got injured as well.
Yeah. So, you know, here we go. We're going to talk about the top 10 running backs. And I'm, you know, the breakdown here, 21 points is a great game. So we look at how many great games they had. Good games are 12 or more points. Bust games, fewer than 7. We don't count missed games due to injury against their consistency score. And Jason, just to make sure, we left week 18 out again.
We did. Week 18 does not apply here.
So number one, I guess in a new category, Saquon Barkley.
He
was the number one most consistent running back by our consistency metrics, 44% great, 75% good, only 6% bust games. It was one bust game. It looks like that was week 6 against Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, one bust game is great. When we were looking at the actual algorithm that's been, you know, tweaked and honed in on for a decade now, at what we believe is the most accurate representation of the truth of these players, you actually had Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson, who had no bus games the entire season, kind of grading out ahead of Saquon from a consistency standpoint, which makes sense because you didn't have that bust. But I can't in good conscience say that Saquon was behind those guys in truth, because our great games, by our metric in half PPR, are north of 21 fantasy points. That's a great game. If your player goes out and scores 22 points, you had a great output from that, and they should be scored as such. When a player goes out in half PPR and goes north of 30, that is, you know, a weak winning performance. We don't score for that because it's not very common. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs had one of them.
We don't award bonus points for that,
right?
Is what you're saying.
Kyren Williams had one of them. You know, you had...
Saquon had five. Yeah.
Five times. He just flat won the week for you. So I was like, no, I don't want to skew and add in these crazy outlier games for, you know, that ruined the other players' rankings. I'm just taking Saquon out, putting him where he belongs with the crown on his head. And then, I mean, there was nothing bad about Saquon.
Seven runs of 40-plus yards. That's more than Todd Gurley ever had in his career. Four runs of 60-plus yards.
Not including the playoffs, which he's already done it.
Yeah, four runs of 60-plus is the same amount that CMC has his entire career. So there were breakaway runs, and a lot of that came as a result of Saquon's talent and ability being combined with the elite offensive line production. 66.2% of his rushing yards came before contact. That is the highest rate among running backs with 200-plus carries in the last 10 years. The offensive line, it was basically like, sometimes you should take the layup in fantasy and not figure out why it's going to fail, I guess, because you knew Saquon was doing everything with nothing in New York, and then you knew that, you know, players in Philadelphia were succeeding at such a great level just because of the offensive line. DeAndre Swift,
yeah.
Miles Sanders,
yeah.
Those players did not depart and look special. And then you say, okay, we're going to give you the best offensive line to the best player or one of the best players at the position. Here's what should happen. It did happen. This is a case of it happened exactly how you would predict it to happen if everything comes together.
I think because I was on the side, you know, guilty of, I was not anti-Saquon, but I was a little nervous, a little skeptical of with the changes that were going to happen. And it's like, well, Jalen Hurts is good for, you know, what, 10-plus rushing touchdowns. Can this offense with A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith, because, like, passing touchdowns are going to happen too, and you have to just slot in 10-plus to Jalen Hurts. Like,
how about 14?
How does Barkley – yeah, you got 14
yeah,
this year.
How about 14?
And Barkley's at 13. Like, that was – I think that was the bigger surprise to me. It wasn't the Barkley's going to rip off huge games because his athletic profile, this is he's one of very few running backs in the league that can hit a 75-yard rushing touchdown. Not everybody can do that. People get caught. Saquon Barkley will not be caught. But to get to the point where you're like, 13 touchdowns is – that was the part that I was hesitant and nervous about coming through. And, I mean, the egg is on my face. That was
– Well, it was –
it did not work out that
way. It was across
way.
Everything. I mean, obviously he could have broken the rushing record if he played in week 18. So it wasn't just touchdowns. It wasn't right. just big plays. And I think a lot of this was the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles defense was so much better this year that they were in a lot of winning game scripts where Jalen Hurts didn't need to air it out a lot. I don't expect their defense is very young. You know, they're two rookie corners that they both hit on this last year. Jalen Carter, their defensive line. So going forward to next year, you have to imagine it's not going to be necessarily as lapping the field as this year, because big plays are hard to come by,
yeah.
But he should be the number one running back drafted. And there's no reason to look at next year and say that anything shouldn't work as well.
I was in the camp too, where I was nervous about things going as perfectly as expected. I end up trading Saquon in the preseason and getting Gibbs. And I lost.
Yeah.
I lost a trade like that. We're going to talk about Gibbs in a minute.
Was great. You think, lost.
And the touchdowns were, you're like, oh, didn't see it being that great. But one of the bigger concerns was, okay, Jalen Hurts, mobile quarterback, not a huge passing volume, just in general. We need you to be at the top. Receiving does have to be in your profile, unless you have an outlier year. So it's like, if beginning of the year, with all of the, oh, there's some unknowns here, if you said, okay, Saquon's going to catch 33 passes for 278 yards. You go, oh, he's not the number one running back.
No way.
No, he's like, he.
And maybe, tell him that Jalen Hurts is going to score 14 times on touch pushes.
Maybe Saquon's a top five.
Yeah.
Did he have such a – so this was a unique season. He is a unique player.
I think it's important to say it was a unique season that will probably not be repeated too, because Saquon has had a prolific injury history in recent years, avoided that entirely this year, which is super impressive.
I feel like we had – at least a few times too during the season, we're like, "Oh, there it is."
Yeah, I mean,
Saquon's done. Oh no, he's back. He's back. It's everything's okay.
First 16 game, so he missed the last week, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So
they sat him down.
First time he's played six. Okay, he played 16 in 2022 and in 2018, but he's had a lot of years where he's been banged up, and the snap counts haven't been high.
Yeah, he's done okay.
Career
for a career running
career
back.
High in opportunities. So
it's impressive.
We'll take a break. We'll jump in with number two, another elder statesman getting it done.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Let's talk flags for a moment. Not the kinds the refs pull on the field. I'm talking about something else. Green flags in relationships, stuff you look for in a partner. You know, for me, you want to look for enjoying being around them. You want to look for shared common traits. It's different for everybody. Relationships take effort. And if you want to make things work, I'd suggest therapy. It's a great tool that can help you navigate all sorts of relationship problems. And therapy can help you tackle other problems too. I've had therapy for years, and you go through highs and you go through lows. Sometimes you're stressed. Sometimes things are going well. And it's really nice to be able to talk about both of those things to help empower you to be the best version of yourself. An excellent place to start when it comes to therapy is BetterHelp. It's convenient and affordable since everything is online, and you'll have access to thousands of therapists with a variety of specialties. And if your first one isn't a good fit, you can switch at any time at no extra cost. Discover your relationship green flags with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When it comes to insurance, USAA is the perfect first round pick. That's because bundling auto with property insurance saves you money. And USAA is your go-to for great rates and insurance options. Visit USAA.com/bundle to see what you can save. Bundle savings are off total premium, not available in all states or in all situations. To qualify, auto policy must be active prior to property policy issue. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
Derrick Henry, 31 years old, drafted as the RB9, arrives in Baltimore. Has a ho-hum first week. It's okay. Not a great week.
First week, people were freaked out. No, this is like...
Yeah.
Week one, you're like, why is Derrick Henry off the field so much? And then, right after that, we got the Harbaugh. We did not bring Saquon Barkley in, Derrick Henry. We didn't bring him in here to give him every single touch. And it was... Oh no. This is going to be what the fear side was of he's old, he's on a new team.
Week one was when Jason felt so good about Isaiah Pacheco over Derrick Henry.
Heck yeah. And week two. I was happy just because Pacheco was good both weeks, but that was wrong.
So Derrick Henry ends up number two in fantasy points, number four in consistency. He was the number one most consistent in the first half. It did slip to number six in the second half. 38% great, 81% good, 6% bust. There were, despite the amazing season, there were times I think that there was some frustration the amount of snaps that like Justice Hill would be getting, 2-minute drills, certain situations, rarely busted one time. Most consistent season of his career in terms of good games was 2024, 81% of the time. So even all those prolific top-tier fantasy seasons, he never had this much consistency as he had in Baltimore. And that's, I mean, you could look at, got to look at Baltimore's record, right? And how well they played on a regular basis.
On Kyle's hitting us with this hot stat here of Baltimore was leading or tied on 81% of his rush attempts. Like, yeah.
This was another one that just played out exactly how you'd be like, oh, perfect scenario for Henry. Yeah. Put him in a team that was always winning. And we did talk about that a lot.
Yep.
Because the good Tennessee years, they were winning a lot of games.
Well, I mean, that was his career. We brought it up in wins. This is across his career. He averages 19.2 fantasy points per game. In losses, 9.8. It is as big a split as any, you know, it's like the historical Big Ben home road splits. Like, it's one of those where you can bank on it. If they're losing, because he's not a pass-catching back, if they're really, really losing a game, he can't do what he does. If they're winning, it's because he did what he does. So it's nice when you go to a team where you're like, how many games are they going to win? 10, 11, 12, 13, 14? You know, next year going into next season, you have to imagine they're going to win a lot of games again.
Highest yards per carry in the NFL. Much better at home. 22.1 fantasy points versus on the road at 16.7. Saw 91% of the Baltimore carries inside the five, which is the highest percentage in the NFL, right? And like you said, just amazing. When the team is winning, he takes the momentum and literally runs with it every single time. Like, it becomes much more of a judgment call on the defender on whether they want to try to stop this guy with their whole heart.
Yeah, the business decision.
Yeah, so entering year two now for Derrick Henry.
And you had some hilarity of, like, when you have running backs for Philadelphia or Buffalo, and they get in close, and you're like, oh, Josh Allen's going to steal my James Cook touchdown. I know he's going to do it. And it was, Lamar did steal touchdowns, but because of play action. Like, it was not the read option. I mean, Lamar had 4 rushing touchdowns on the year. So it was just that if you had Henry, oh man, that was the worst when you get into the goal line and
you just knew.
You're like,
it was done.
They're going to hit the play action, because if I were calling a play, even if I have Derrick Henry, I think I'm going with the play action here.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to work.
They didn't do it that much, though. I mean, he had 10 rushing touchdowns inside the five. When they got down there, they said, hey, big guy, go into the painted area.
Yeah, 16. He was at 1,921 yards. Saquon was at 2,005. And 16 rushing touchdowns. It was outrageous. Number three, bird of a different feather to some degree, right?
Yes.
Jahmyr Gibbs came in at number three in fantasy. Number three in consistency. And in the first half and the second half, fourth and fourth.
I mean, very consistent.
It was wild because of all the players that you would think would have more inconsistency. You would think it would be a guy that was in a committee until the last 3 weeks of the season. 81% good games, never busted. 31% great games. I had Jahmyr Gibbs on our League of Record team throughout the entire year. I'd go in, these games would start and you'd have a first quarter of no points. And it was all the time. It would be David Montgomery gets the first drive, he scores, and if the other team takes, you know, it's a three and out here for the Lions. Look, the first quarter would end, and I'd be in the single digits, low single digits with Gibbs, and every game would turn out fine.
And I had Montgomery on the other side. We won't talk about David Montgomery on today's episode. That'll be next one. But just spoiler, he was consistency ranked number 7. I mean, he was as consistent as it comes. I don't know how this team, and do you have fears with Ben Johnson leaving, that the running game might change, or do you have hopes that, you know, as the Gibbs manager, that Gibbs will be more involved and it'll be less of this committee with a new offensive mindset?
I think I would expect things as of right now to be very much the same. I think the identity, the way that Dan Campbell wants to be winning football games and is to hit people in the mouth. And to use both of these guys that they have huge investments on. Like, Montgomery got a big contract. Gibbs was a high draft capital, top 12 pick, right? So, I don't think it changes.
What changes the fear of change to me is because I think that the running back split is that's also part of Dan Campbell. Like I think he's going to be telling the offensive coordinator, no, we were going to play both guys. The concern would be they were the highest scoring team in football. The highest scoring team in football is going to have a great fantasy running back, kind of just regardless. And that's they were fifth, 2 years ago. They jump up to first this year. Can the offense, whoever's designing things for Jared Goff, will it be as successful? Because if they drop back down to fifth, being a top five scoring offense is great, you probably aren't getting this Jahmyr Gibbs.
He'll
still be great.
If you drop down in scoring, it comes out of Montgomery's pocket,
I
in my
agree.
Opinion.
Okay.
Because from an you were facing Jahmyr Gibbs in your title game in our dynasty league.
Yes, and every time he gets given the ball, you're like, he can score.
Yeah, I mean, he was number one in explosive runs. 10% of all carries went 15-plus yards.
That's absurd.
So one out of every 10 times you handed him the football, he got to the point where you were like, oh, he's gone. Now, you were not always right, but that was the case. 25 runs of 15-plus yards. That is the same as Saquon and Henry, despite getting fewer carries. He had 250 carries for 1,400 yards and 16 rushing touchdowns. That number, we'll see. We'll see if that number can stay up there. But the fact you caught 52 passes, 517 receiving yards, 4 receiving touchdowns, that's a 20-touchdown year from this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. The thing that I think most managers wanted to see more of from Gibbs was the passing work. He was involved, but David Montgomery was involved as well. If you look at the end of the season when Monty went down, the last 5 games, that's what you wanted from Jahmyr Gibbs. The last 5 games, he was on pace for 90 targets. He was used all the time in the passing game, and it was very effective. 9.8 yards per reception on those plays. For a running back, that's a great number,
it's
an easy check down to a first down when you've got Jahmyr Gibbs. So hopefully the new coordinator comes in and says, let's utilize him more in the passing game. Because that was
and they could
the
stay in-house.
Half.
They
yeah.
could end up staying in-house for that move.
They usually do. I mean, I do have fears a little bit of, the Philadelphia Eagles. They were a great story, had such an awesome season, a great run to a Super Bowl. Their offense was outstanding. Their defense was great. And then they lost both coordinators. And they really did struggle. They hired internal in-house. They said, hey, next man up. And that didn't work the season prior to this one. They took a major step back. They had to replace both coordinators again with more proven commodities. So it's TBD for whether it just works for the Lions. I have to imagine they will regress as an offense this next year.
Just by
simple odds. Like
yeah.
The teams finishing number one in points – in back-to-back years is not common. You're telling me they lose their offensive coordinator who has been a big part of what they've done and they're going to stay there? It's probably not going to happen.
No, but they could be in the midst of a Rams-like run where you have a good handful of peak years.
Yeah.
And I would expect that. What's funny is the first 3 names are they're all players who, if you made the bull case for them before the season, that bull case came true.
I'd say first 4.
Well, let's go to number 4, Bijan Robinson. Consistency was number 2, the second most consistent running back in football, number 7 in the first half, and really turned it on in the second half. He has been the kind of the posh pick, I think, for people to put at number 1 next year or put him at number 2 next year. It's been, should we really be looking at Bijan at 22 years old, going on 23, with the way he finished the season? Number 2, number 8, number 11, 8, 5, 2, all these top 10 finishes. 81% good games, 38% great in a season where you had a quarterback change. Is this the time that we finally hand the baton to Bijan Robinson going into year 3?
Yeah, I mean, it was handed to him. It really, you start the season and you had
us as fantasy managers is what I mean.
Are
we ready to hand him the baton at the top of the list? I think that some people are.
I'm not, simply because of Saquon Barkley. I think that team makeup is one that I want a part of more than the Atlanta Falcons. That would be the whole reason. If you swapped those players, if you put Bijan on the Eagles, he would be everyone's number one. When you're, not even 23 years old, you are electric every single play, adding more every single play. Tyler Allgeier is a good player, and they need to spell him, and he would come in and do some stuff. But then it would kill drives because Bijan, every time he got the ball, would make a cut and just get an extra 3 or 4 yards. He didn't have the same amount of breakaway runs like Jahmyr Gibbs, like Saquon Barkley. That's something.
Yeah, what do you read into that? Because I noticed that too. That's how it felt.
Yeah,
he was tried and true, but not there were not those like old school AP breakaway runs that made the headlines.
Yeah, and that's I think what limits his upside to just say he's absolutely going to be the number one player, because those breakaway plays are almost always for the running back position. When you have a 60-yard run, it's a touchdown. It's a house call. So you're taking away, you know, there's a reason Jahmyr Gibbs and Saquon Barkley have so many touchdowns, because when they have these big plays, they end in, you know, an extra 6 fantasy points. Bijan didn't really have that, but what Bijan did have is 75% of the snaps. And later in the year when they made the quarterback change, 82% of snaps, you started to see him utilized the way that he should be, the way that his talent and body and draft capital allows. And so it gives me a lot of confidence. Like, he'll be my number two running back.
You know
next
what his
year.
Longest run of the season is? I just looked up because I was curious.
I have no idea. 70 I guess something? Like, I don't know.
37 yards.
What? I was going to guess 36. Mike said 70 something and I retracted.
Yeah, his longest on a per game basis, if I read him out.
Oh, I was just, I had Barkley up.
13, 19, 7, 9, 28, 16, 26, 13, 16, 37, 9. It's just interesting to me because I didn't have any shares of Bijan this year. So I didn't have my eyes on him as closely as maybe a Gibbs or even watching Derrick Henry, who's on primetime all the time. Like, Atlanta was not. And so I do feel like this is one of the quieter, unless you had him, kind of a quiet number four finish.
If you had him, you loved the ride. I mean, obviously, zero bust games the entire season. He had almost 2,000 combined all-purpose yards. So this was outstanding. His utilization just kept going north and north. I think with Michael Penix going into year two, there should be a lot of optimism. It's just touchdowns. How many can he get? It's not like he didn't score touchdowns this year. Finished the last 3 weeks of the season 2 apiece and had 14 touchdowns.
You believe in the future of Michael Penix and what that will provide for the offense and being, because you got to be a top tier offense to really put up the kind of numbers that would get number one.
It's difficult because the Penix Jr. games, that was the final 3 games of the year, which was the Giants, Washington, which their defense was kind of relapsing a little bit in that span. And then the final week was Carolina. So it's like, we have not seen, Washington, that's a good matchup, but the Giants and Carolina, that's not a battle testing quarterback scenario for an entire season.
No, that's a little upsetting. It was nice though, those last 2 games, 5 targets. And
Bijan dominated.
Bijan was great, but I like seeing in a game script where you're not being blown out, because a lot of times though, that's where the inflated 7, 8, 9 targets to a running back happens. 5 targets in those games is really nice.
Number 5, Josh Jacobs.
Wild.
Consistency rank was number 8.
First half of the year sucked, man.
First half of the year, he was all over the place. Some question marks. After 4 weeks, you were like, is this working?
Big question
marks. Is this working? Number 17 in consistency in the first half. Number 5 in the second half. 25% great, 63% good. Only 1 bust game. Very good against both top and bottom defenses. So whether they were great or not, very consistent. Same with home and road splits. And this was not the backfield that maybe the Packers envisioned in the very, very beginning. But they knew, and one of the reasons they signed Jacobs was they knew he could handle a huge workload. And 301 carries later, 15 rushing touchdowns, 1,300 rushing yards. Contributed in the receiving game. Obviously, this was a workhorse role for him and very impressive.
The end of season is so wild for him because, I mean, it was incredible. It is definitely propped up by touchdowns. I mean, he had 15 rushing touchdowns on the year, and you know, like the bulk of them came after the bye week, 12 of them.
Through week 7.
12 of them were week 11 on.
Yeah, I was going to say through week 7, almost 2 months of the season, he had one touchdown.
It was up like 15.
Yeah.
That's a furious pace. I mean, most touchdowns inside the 10 of anybody.
And then you have, and then over the stretch of that, incredibly effective in the receiving game, but then would have games where with literally zero targets. And like, so it's, he is a very difficult one. They're a very difficult guy to think about what really happened and trying to project moving forward. Cause it was so successful. He is a, like he's a very good running back when he's not Fat Thor, but does this feel sticky for the Green Bay Packers for next year?
It does to me.
Do they, I mean, they have been historically with LaFleur, they've been a running back by committee, and I don't think they had the true clientele to run that the way that they want to.
They went into this season as far as not into week one, but they went into after the NFL draft with A.J. Dillon as the backup, and then they drafted Marshawn Lloyd. Like that was
right.
This was going to be a committee with Josh Jacobs, Lloyd, and A.J. Dillon, and those two guys got injured. The backups, they did their best, but they just had to use Josh Jacobs. So I have a huge question next year as to whether or not Josh Jacobs is like, hey, I proved I could take 344 opportunities, not get injured, be awesome, score touchdowns. I became the machine, and I could see Matt LaFleur being like, I can't go to an inferior back. Like he can handle this.
Yeah.
I can see that, but I can also it's going to be transactions.
See it the other way.
It's going to be transactions to me. What is their actual?
There won't be any more. I mean, this is Josh Jacobs had already secured himself as a workhorse running back in the vein of Saquon and
right.
those and Henry and those backs, and then they went and spent the money on him. Then he did it and delivered. I'm with you on.
But
the,
what if they go out and draft a running back?
Or Marshawn Lloyd is
they have. I mean, they have personnel there already, right? So,
well, they have Emmanuel Wilson, but
yeah, like, if they draft a running back super high, sure, you can change the conversation. But what I'm saying is Josh Jacobs in league circles and with the Packers and with his history of running and playing the position, that is who he is.
Oh, you don't want to bring up history, Andy. If you want to bring up history, you're going to find out that Josh Jacobs was the running back 8 in 2020. And then he fell to the running back 14. And then he was the running back 3 in 2022.
Uh-oh.
And then he fell to the running back 27. And then the running back 5. I mean, this is a red light, green light situation. So history says he's going to have a bad year.
I can see all the arguments for him just saying that for next year.
He's a year younger than Saquon
next year,
a winning football team that got all the red zone carries, and it worked.
Next year, he will be.
This is why he'll be the least sexy pick for people.
He's going to be a really high
pick.
That's
why it'll be.
He'll be a second round pick.
People will take so many more sexy names over Josh Jacobs again for the third time in the last 4 years. They will draft the wrong guy.
Whose offense is better next year, the Atlanta Falcons or the Green Bay Packers?
Green Bay, absolutely.
Of course it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jacobs will do what he continues to do because Matt LaFleur is a prolific offensive head coach. They have a franchise quarterback, and it'll be great.
Just saying that coach, Matt LaFleur, is the one who kept putting A.J. Dillon on the field. Over Aaron Jones.
I mean, they did put him on the field over Aaron Jones, who was frequently hurt and always been a limited workload player.
And a smaller back. I really can see both sides because
I talked about
it a lot. I mean, I got this wrong. I talked about going into this season a lot. LaFleur himself came out and said, you know me, I want a committee. I like using multiple backs. He said that so many times it was clear, and he's got a pretty, you know, he's a trustworthy coach. So I don't know how much of it was the fact that he lost the players they had going into the season to be the committee, you know, if they get them back. But also, Josh Jacobs proved he can do it and did it and is capable of doing it. If LaFleur decides, I'm going to use him as a workhorse next year, he's going to be great, period.
That's what people do with Josh. That's what they do. That's what he's been. So we'll see. We'll see. I do think that this will be the problem with people. This is why he'll drop down, is because people don't like Josh Jacobs for some reason.
How low you think we can get him?
I think you guys can drive him down even lower.
Let's get him to the third, Mike.
We'll take a break.
Ah, that's a tough. That's a tough ask.
We'll give you the last five names here momentarily. What's up, Foot Clan? This episode is brought to you by Vuori. Vuori is performance apparel that's designed for working out, but it doesn't look or feel like it. And let me tell you, the Ponto Performance Jogger, it's a game changer. It's part of Vuori's Dream Knit collection. It's soft. It's super soft and lightweight. And what I like about it is I can wear it. It looks casual. And then I can go, I can play some pickleball in those things. It's a performance jogger. It looks great. It's perfect for them, the low-impact workouts, or maybe I'll play some one-on-one, maybe that high-impact workout too, or maybe you're doing some yoga or some stretching, or even sitting at the desk in the studio. Whatever you do, it'll keep you comfortable for hours without sacrificing style, and they're my go-to for relaxing days at home. Go to Vuori.com/ballers to get 20% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply. Visit the website for full terms and conditions.
You want control of your financial future, and Schwab knows that. That's why when it comes to managing your wealth, we give you more choices, like full-service wealth management and advice when you need it most. You can also invest on your own and trade on thinkorswim, our powerful award-winning trading platforms. Plus, you'll get low costs, transparent pricing, and 24/7 live help. Because at Schwab, we understand it's your financial journey, and we believe you should have choices in how you invest. Visit schwab.com to learn more.
Kyren Williams comes in at number 6, was drafted as the RB8 in the second round. His consistency rank ended up at 5. He was number 2 in the first half. In the second half, it did dip to number 12 overall. 75% good games, no bust games, 13% great games. So you didn't have those monster performances on a regular basis, but he, 1,200 yards, almost 1,300 yards, 14 touchdowns. Not a lot in the receiving game. 34 receptions for just 182 yards. So you ask, hey, how does a guy like that end up at 6? He didn't really get involved in the receiving game. We should see some changes on the offensive side of the football for the Rams next year.
Yeah.
This was a successful season. Is that how you would describe the pick? I think if you took him where he was being drafted, you were very happy.
You're very happy. I mean, he was the running back 6. He was consistent. He didn't bust. He won you some weeks and never really lost you. This is a player that I don't fully understand because he's 5'9", 200 pounds. He's a smaller back. He plays so strong and is so hard to take down. I mean, we loved his film in Notre Dame, loved him as a prospect, and it's so fun to watch him. I really enjoy watching Kyren Williams. I just don't get how it works.
Because he has strong muscle, not fast muscle.
I do have some very important news.
That's scientific. You can't argue that.
Kyren Williams returned how many punts?
Oh, yes.
For the Los Angeles Rams
at least
in
the
2024.
First one. At least the first one.
How many total punts?
I'll go 5.
I'm going to go 4.
12.
Oh, all right.
He received 12.
The whole punt returner narrative.
And he returned 21 punts in 2023. So he went down from 21 to 12.
So this was one of the things that we talked about going into the season. And one of my top 10 tips and tricks to remember is that if you've got a great player who is succeeding and they draft depth at the position, do not be afraid of just saying that that player's great and they know he's great. Maybe that speaks to your Josh Jacobs argument that they're going to keep using him that way, because this was a player who 2 years ago played 76% of the snaps, and then they go and draft Blake Corum and you're like, well, he's not going to be like that. Do you know the percentage of snaps he played this year? 81%. They're like, we could do it even more.
Blake Corum averaged 3.4 rushing attempts per game. You had a period of time from weeks 2 to 7 where no Puka Nacua was on the field. He was a red zone dominator. Over the last 2 years, he has 31 total touchdowns in 28 games played. Only Gibbs matches that number. And so he's entering the final year of his rookie contract. Does he get an extension?
I don't know.
How long will the core of this team stay together? There's always questions about Stafford.
Get that shmoney, Kyren.
Yeah, get that shmoney. The problem is you're playing for the Rams, who I feel like this regime, this general manager, this head coach, learned a very costly lesson when they had the best running back in the NFL in their eyes and Todd Gurley, and they paid him accordingly. And then the running back did what running backs sometimes do. He fell off a map. He didn't have the same burst all of a sudden, and then you had to deal with cap hits for multiple years, hurting your team's chances. I don't know that they're going to give him a big enough contract. Kyren needs to go get that money wherever he can get it.
Yeah, he does.
I don't know if he'll command it on the open market or not, but I will say from a dynasty perspective, he is one of my I have fears. I have no fear. Next year redraft, I will be all in on Kyren. I was all in on Kyren this year. The talent's too good. The offense is great. McVay knows how to use him. He plays well in the system. They use him in the red zone. There's nothing not to like about Kyren Williams. But I'm not sure he's here 2 years from now.
You would want to involve the next up as well, potentially, if it helps you. They were getting Corum going at the end. He broke his arm,
yeah,
which is unfortunate. But Kyren, two straight years at RB6.
Oh, don't do it again.
There's a fragility. There's a fragility with the Stafford situation that's always going to be there.
I think he's back.
Well, I don't mean just him leaving, but just the injuries.
Yeah. And what is this offense? What is the status of Cooper Kupp? A lot of questions here. But I'm with Jason that I will probably just be status quo with Kyren. He's great and he scores a lot of touchdowns.
Devon Achane at number 7. Jason's my guy. His consistency rank, though, 17.
This is the guy.
This is the reality versus the fiction reality situation, because drafted at RB10, and I don't think your answer is I'm happy.
I'm happy or unhappy? What was the
I don't think you're happy. No, you're not happy with a second-round pick who, through the first half of the year, was the 27th most consistent running back when you needed him.
So I don't
happy, but you know what happened.
Yeah, that is so. If we're talking about the truth, the split. I mean, he couldn't get it done in the Tua-less offense when Tua was out, which was two different stretches: week 17 and week 18, and weeks 3 through 7. Tua didn't play for the concussion, and then what was the other injury? Is it back or
it was
something?
A hip,
something like that.
I think it was a hip. We'll find out.
And Devon Achane was completely shut down. I mean, you're talking a drastic split. To put it in perspective, tell me if this changes your opinion here, Andy, on Devon Achane. If you remove only those weeks, leave all the Tua weeks, when he played with Tua, his consistency rank would have been number 5, which would have been ahead of Kyren Williams. In the games that Tua played, he was
absolutely fantastic.
That would have been 10 games.
Yeah, I mean, he was very good with Tua.
I mean,
he was different this year, though.
He would have
was very different.
He would have had 75% good games, 0% bust games. Now, obviously, you've got a double whammy of injury risk with Devon Achane, because he is, in and of himself, someone that's been injured before and he's undersized. And then Tua is always
this
an injury
This is the first
risk.
Tier of running back that we're talking about today where there are more variables that can go wrong.
Yes.
They don't have to go wrong. There are variables that can go wrong. His injuries, Tua's injuries, the offensive system, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, short area targets, no breakaway plays, all of these things.
McDonald's.
Like, the way that Achane got it done last year isn't the way he got it done this year.
Oh, correct. Last year it was all breakaway,
explosive plays. Yeah.
This year he was a wide receiver.
Yeah, he was. He was a wide receiver this
year.
And
every running back is going to take a hit of some kind.
And Mostert basically missed the year, too.
If you don't have your starting quarterback, because your offense won't be as good.
Yeah, I don't want to discredit how good he was at Tua. Even his good games were different than last year.
Yes.
So it's hard to predict the future with him compared to the other
six. But I'm saying, like, go to the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar misses 3 games. Derrick Henry doesn't vanish into the mist.
Correct.
The Philadelphia Eagles. Saquon Barkley doesn't disappear because different archetype of a player.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact Achane is so weird, because that in fantasy, if you're in a half or a full point scoring for per catch, you want this more. Like, you want 70 plus receptions more than you want the 250 plus carries. They're just targets, and receptions are worth so much more. But if you lose that completely when your quarterback's gone, he is a very sketchy pick.
Number 8 is James Cook, who is Mike's my guy, drafted at RB14 in the 4th round. Consistency of 9, definitely a win. You saw what he was capable of.
I'm taking a win on my guy.
Yeah.
Go on.
Okay. 1,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 38 targets, 32 receptions, 27% great game, 60% good, 13% busts. He took advantage of bad defenses. They were a team that when they were ahead, they knew the recipe. The recipe was to hand that football off. He definitely had a lot of big plays. It was fun to watch this year. The identity of the offense changed. And, you know, the team struggled to find weapons in the passing game. I didn't need to for a lot of games. But, I mean, he had fewer opportunity snaps and yards than last year and yet had 16 rushing touchdowns.
But
oh.
Andy.
Oh,
voice of public opinion.
Haven't heard from you in a while.
I thought that they won't use James Cook around the goal line and he can only have 2 rushing touchdowns a year. And that was the whole knock on him.
Yeah.
It was weird because it's not like Josh Allen wasn't scoring.
2 rushing touchdowns rookie year, 2 rushing touchdowns sophomore year. They're like, when we get around the goal line, we're not going to let him. 16. He tied OJ, right?
I won't have him next year. I won't have James Cook. I won't because I think the passing pendulum will swing back and forth a little bit year to year. Ray Davis is a really good player. They showed a willingness to use different players in different scenarios, and 16 rushing touchdowns is very, very, very hard to repeat. I don't care if you're LeSean McCoy. I don't care if you're Derek. Well, not Derek Henry can repeat.
Sure.
But I don't care who you are. It's hard to report that number.
Yeah, the lack of opportunities. It wasn't just Ray Davis. I mean, you get Ty Johnson's getting important work in here. James Cook, it doesn't seem like he will ever be way over this in terms of opportunities. So he is capped, and his ceiling is capped by the amount of touchdowns he gets. But he's a great, efficient player.
Any thoughts on James Cook there?
It's just crazy to me that he was the running back 11 last year with 2 touchdowns. He had 16 this year, and he was the running back 8.
Yeah.
All right, we'll put a pin in it. We have a second episode for the running back truth coming up, and we will tackle running backs 9 through however many we can get through on our next episode. But first,
Fantasy Face-Off, presented by DraftKings.
Look who's back, boys.
Mike's got his crown.
The king of the castle.
Jason and I flamed out this week. We'll just be honest about it. Mike continues his hot streak. I was trying to find my notes on the 2 I picked this week. I had to scroll through so many pictures of Rex Ryan's teeth before I could get to my 2 picks. Last week, I'm actually rolling out the exact same.
What could go wrong?
Player this week. I am taking Josh Allen over 228.5 passing yards against the Chiefs.
Okay.
And then I am taking Travis Kelce under 70.5 receiving yards.
Wait a minute. Read that again. Read that again.
Allen over 228.5, Kelce under 70.5 receiving.
Well, I have Kelce under 70.5 yards receiving, and I have more than Josh Allen, but I got 229.5. So,
oh, you didn't get in fast enough.
If he gets 229, I'm gonna be so pissed.
You picked the same.
Wow,
two.
I did. So tell
the two
people
clowns over here just playing in the mud.
No, yeah.
Mike, what did you do?
Things are looking up for you.
That's wild.
So for this week's pick 6, as we're giving you 2 of our picks, I have Josh Allen. I'm taking the more on the rushing touchdowns because when the big games are on the line.
Is that 0.5?
Yes.
Okay.
So all he needs is 1. When the big games are on the line, Josh Allen runs. 6 rushing touchdowns over his last 6 playoff games. The numbers are he runs more in the playoffs because he's not taking no chances. And then I'm going to take Kareem Hunt more than 36.5. rushing yards. He's been getting more work. Pacheco was my last week because Pacheco does not look the same. Not that I think Kareem Hunt is amazing, but it's 36.5 rushing yards. And the Buffalo Bills defense, they're a bit of a run funnel right now. So I like him more than 36.5.
So those are our pick 6 picks for the upcoming championship weekend. That was Fantasy Faceoff presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is crowning a king of the end zone every NFL game day. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code BALLERS. That is the code BALLERS to compete for a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Don't worry. We've got a footcast for all of you supporting the show at jointhefoot.com coming out later today. And we have another episode, the part 2 of our running back truth. next week.
Enjoy the football, everybody. Goodbye.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. One token per customer. Tokens expire at the start of the final of NFL game each day when offered. Use token on day's longest touchdown scorer to receive equal share of $2 million in non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 168 hours. Additional wagering restrictions apply. For additional terms or responsible gaming resources, see sportsbook.draftkings.com/promos.